Well, it's a joy and a blessing to be together in this way this afternoon. Beautiful. It's warm out. This seems like a good thing to be doing. It's a bit. Just want to greet you all in Jesus' name. Thank you for those thoughts, Brother Jonas. That was a blessing. That's a challenge to all of us. Abraham believed God. There's a profession in the world. You can talk to many people and they'll tell you that I believe in God. I believe in God. I believe God exists. I believe there is such a thing as God. I believe with a man that will look into the Word and say, I believe God. That this Word is spoken to us. And we'll just set his heart. Just set his heart in that way. I believe God. This word is for me. It's a that's just a powerful thing. And there's a the writer to Hebrews, the verse was read there, that there not be in any of us an evil heart of unbelief. Those are sobering words. An evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. And now most of the professing Christianity would see themselves somewhere in the middle of all that. Well, they would never say that, you know, never confess that they have an evil heart of unbelief and departing from God. But at the same time, I believe God. This word is for me. Every word, everything that was spoken to us is for me, and by the power of the Holy Spirit can become a reality in my life. May not see that today, but I believe God. That's a sobering thought. Thank you, brother, for sharing those thoughts. We'd like to read here this afternoon in John chapter 8. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to these. John chapter 8. Beginning in verse 30. Jesus said these words. John chapter 8 verse 30. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Well, I'll stop reading there. The few thoughts that I have this afternoon are based on this desire that Jesus Christ has, this desire that he has for his people, for his servants to be made free. I was just pondering that these last few days. Maybe this goes back to last Sunday. Brother Barry shared about this man who was tied up with ropes, and he was thinking of how he could possibly have intervened in the situation and gained custody of this man and save his life. If you remember the story of the account, it's not a story, it really happened in Haiti there. But I was thinking the first thing that Brother Barry would have done in that situation is take the ropes off. Just get the ropes off and set him free. And the thought was then is that he would be so humbled and grateful that he would desire to just to serve, just to be a servant that he would feel very indebted to someone who had saved him. And so if we could just, my few thoughts this afternoon are based on some of those thoughts. The reality of the desire of the Lord to take the ropes off. The desire of the Lord to set us free, to make us free, so that we can serve Him. And so I've got a few different points here, and I don't know how it applies here because one thing I know that mankind's pretty in general is pretty much the same. I don't know a lot of details and specifics about your community here and some of the things that you may all deal with, but from my past and from things that I've experienced, there are a few things that came to my mind. So with that in mind, I have a number of, if we could just get that picture in our minds, that thought of taking the ropes off, setting someone free. And I look at my life and I wonder, what does the Lord see in my life? Does He see things that areas in my life where He'd like for me to experience more freedom? More freedom from self, more freedom from my own will, more freedom from... And that be as it may, some of these are pretty general. These won't be new thoughts to you today, many of them. But I'd like for us to just think about these today, and maybe we can discuss them some later. If you don't want to turn to Luke chapter 15 for the first one here. The first one that I'd like to talk about here is forgiveness. Luke chapter 15, I know it's a bit of reading, but I think we'll read the whole chapter here, and then we'll give a few thoughts. Then drew near unto him, Luke chapter 15, all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not have them leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he came home, when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And he said, A certain man had two sons. The younger of them said unto his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there rose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and when he had sent him unto his fields to feed swine, and he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came unto his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said unto his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now the elder son was in the field, and he came and drew nigh unto the house and heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf because he has received him safe and sound. And he was angry, and he would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said unto his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son was come, which had devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. So I'd like to spend just a little bit of time on this afternoon. I won't take too long, but there is in many of our communities, and I don't know how it is here, but there is in many of our communities what I would call a generational cloudiness. There's this cloud of generational guilt that many times just hovers over the people. They can't really identify it. They can't really say what it's all about. But there's reasons for it. I won't try to explain what all those are, but there's reasons for it, and of just guilt on the conscience. We try to repent, we try to make things right, we try to, but there's never a real confidence. But there's not a real confidence that I'm forgiven, that the past is dealt with. And I sat in a church service one day when this so struck me, when there was someone who was confessing and repenting of wrongdoing, and the man who was officiating the service, he concluded this matter by saying, "Well, we hope God has forgiven you." And I just picture just walking out of that church room in the defeat. Well, maybe I should have done something more. Maybe I, you know, if I would what? Do what? And that cloudiness hangs over the people. It's this blanket of unnamed guilt and maybe there is actual sin. Maybe there is actual, but rarely does anyone find faith and courage and ability to overcome and to climb out of the hole that they're in. It don't work. And so I just We have these words from Jesus Christ. We have these words from Jesus Christ that tell us that when one sinner repents, that there is joy in heaven. There is a rejoicing and an excitement in heaven. I picture, you know, we can understand this parable. We can understand, you know, if put yourself in those shoes. Your father gave you your inheritance. You go out, you waste it. You just spend your life in sin and just waste it all. And when you finally get all done and you decide, you know what, I'm going to die unless I change this thing. I'm really going to die. And you decide, you know what, I think I'll just go back home. I mean, and you go back home and you say, Dad, I'm sorry, but if you'd give me a spot in the barn, I'd be happy. If you'd just give me it, I'm really sorry for what I did. It was all wrong. I'm tired of it. I wanted to come back home. Would you just give me a spot in the barn, Dad? If you'd give me a spot in the barn, I'd be happy. I'd be happy. And you just picture that. And picture your dad. Picture your dad saying, no, not in the barn. I mean, what dad wouldn't just do exactly what we see right here? Why would we do that? Why would we do that? Because we're created in the image of God. Because that's what God would do. That's what Jesus said God would do. That's the picture of the Father, and I think of that. And maybe it's a word to us as fathers as well. You know, we can do that to our children. That cloudiness that. Yeah, well, you messed it up last time too. You know, you'll probably mess it up again. You've messed up last time. That. You know, I don't know what your home life was like, but some of us grow up in situations like that, where there's not just a acceptance. There's not a you're my son. I love you. I'm pleased with you. Yes, if you did something wrong, we'll correct that. We'll do whatever is necessary. But this cloudiness where someone can never measure up, can never quite get there, can never quite find peace. You know, I think we can some of those things carry over into our homes, and so I think of that to settle in our hearts by the authority of the Word of God that sins repented of are sins forgiven. Sins repented of are sins forgiven. Psalm 103 would tell us that He puts them as far away from us as the east is from the west. He casts them into the depths of the sea. In other words, they are gone. And I just think of that. So this afternoon, we have some options of where we might be and where we're at in life. There's a possibility that we have never seen ourselves as having sinned or being a sinner. There's a possibility that we haven't seen that. And I would just assure us today that I realize that all our lives are different. We come up different roads, and some of us the sin was so obvious it stood out all over. It couldn't be missed. And some of us grew up in different homes, and maybe it wasn't that way, and maybe we feel like, well, we weren't really all that bad. But the Bible tells us very clearly that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In other words, it was one sin that plunged the whole world into darkness. And so that's a possibility. It's a possibility that the Spirit of God has never really convicted us of our need for a Savior, our need for salvation, our need that if there's sin in my life that I haven't dealt with knowingly, knowing sin in my life, that I can't really come before God in that way. If there's sin that I'm unwilling to repent of, it blocks me from praying. I can pray, but it don't go anywhere. It's a hindrance to me. There's a possibility that we're here this afternoon, and we've repented. We've tried. We've said we're sorry, and yet this afternoon we wonder about it all, and the devil tempts us to yeah, but what about all those things? And we wonder if at some point or another this whole thing's going to come tumbling back on me and bring a curse on my life and drag me down at last. And we wonder if that's, or can I really have a confidence that it's just gone and that I'm free? They're all gone by the authority of the Word of God. It's not my idea. it's not, and there are I don't know how to say these things, but I don't believe it's done intentionally. I don't believe that maybe people understand and know what they're doing. But there's a hesitation. There is in many settings, and again, I don't know how it is here, so this may not apply. I understand that. But there is in many settings, there is a hesitation. There's a hesitation to really pronounce someone free because I'll lose control of him. And I just like to say today that sin repented of is sin forgiven in the eyes of God. It's gone by the authority of the Word of God. Luke 5, sorry, I lost my page. Luke chapter 5. I'm sorry. Still not finding it here. Luke chapter 5. Verse 20. Luke chapter 5, verse 20. And when he saw their faith, this is where they lowered this man through the roof and dropped him down here in front of Jesus. He was needing healing. So they dropped him down here in front of Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? And when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts? Whither is easier to say thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say rise up and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy couch, and go into thy house. And immediately he rose up before them and took up that wherein he lay and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed and glorified God. and were filled with fear, saying, "We have seen strange things today." But here Jesus does a miracle, and this is written in our Bibles, but here Jesus does a miracle. He said, "I'm doing this today so that you can know one thing, that the Son of Man hath power to forgive sins. For that purpose today, I do this. For that purpose today, I realize that we grow up and we hear the gospel story, and we know that Jesus died on a cross, and we know that all those things happen, and yeah, we believe those things happen, and yeah, we hear it often enough, and we could probably recite it, and we can tell these things, and yet in spite of all of that, there can hang over us this cloud. What about, does it apply to me? How do I know that it applies to me? Have I done enough to earn that salvation? Have I really done enough to make that apply to me?" Brother Jonas spoke to us here about faith. You don't earn that. There isn't anything you do to deserve that. You don't live 40 years of holy living and then somehow you earn forgiveness of your sins. It's not the way it works. It's that picture that we saw last Sunday that Brother Barry shared, is this man who is bound in his sin and his chains, and someone comes along and just delivers him from that situation and takes the chains off. And so I don't know how that applies here today, but I'd like to encourage us today that we would you know, the devil torments us with our feelings. Well, yesterday I felt like I was forgiven. Today I'm not so sure. What changed? All that changed is that my feelings somehow don't measure up to it today. If I'm back sinning and all that's going on, that's another story. That's not what we're talking about. But I've repented. The only thing that changed is how I feel about it, and that has literally nothing to do with it. We our faith is based on the Word of God. It's not based on what everybody's saying and all those things. So we'd like to move on here. Following that, there is a responsibility, and this should follow automatically. Can I say that? This should be unspoken. I don't know that we should even have to say this, but if we have been forgiven, there is a willingness on our hearts to forgive others, right? I mean, we shouldn't have to say it. And yet I find it, and I've seen in my life where it hasn't always been so easy. And if there's bonds on Christians today, I believe this is one of the main ones, and that is an unwillingness to forgive others. And release them. And maybe that's because we don't know if we've been forgiven or not. And maybe that's because we don't know where we're at, and so that increases the tendency to hold others. So let's just read a passage here. And this is the Word of God, Matthew 18. This is how it is. Matthew 18. Matthew 18, verse 21. Then came Peter to him and said, "Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times?" Matthew 18, verse 21. Jesus saith unto him, "I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take an account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, in payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. The Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but he went out and cast him into prison till he should pay his debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. And then their Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all thy debt because thou desirest me. Shouldst not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him up to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise will my heavenly Father do also unto thee, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Now I know that's a lot of reading, but I spoke a little bit ago about our sins being gone, our sins being taken away and forgotten. But there is, in the Bible that I read, there is one thing that can bring them back. And that's sobering to me. An unforgiving heart. That's what Jesus said here, right? That's what he said. An unwillingness to forgive those that trespass against us, he said, will visit our own iniquities back upon us. It's a sobering reality. And it is hard for me to grasp, when we have been forgiven so much, how is it possible to be these touchy people that are so easily offended? These touchy people that everyone else needs to perform strictly for. Everyone else needs to, and I think it's one of those. It's one of those things of pride. It's one of those things that just reveal an unbroken spirit. I don't know how to say it. It just reveals an unbrokenness. Not really realizing the amount of transgression and sin that I'm fine, brother. Thank you though. Don't worry about me. I sweat easy, so yeah. This touchy spirit, this touchiness that's so easily offended, I believe it's just chains that the Lord would want to take off of us and set us free. Forgiving others. Okay, I have a few other things here that we'd like to touch on today. I wasn't planning to go real long here. Some of these I'm cutting a little short. Maybe we can discuss them later. And so this one here is a big subject, and I'm going to abbreviate what I'm going to share here today. For the sake of time, there's a lot that could be talked here about here. This is something that was very big where I'm from. It may not be as big here. And that's the subject of witchcraft. And I don't know how this applies here today, but there are strongholds. There are strongholds in the plain communities, and this is one of them. But there's a stronghold, and it comes from our ancestry. It comes from the old country. It followed from there. It may not be as strong and prevalent here, but I'm just going to put it out there that things like Brauche, maybe you're not familiar with it. Some of you look a little blank, so maybe you've not heard of it. Maybe it's a, but things like, but it's very common where I'm from. of people. It's rooted in superstition and witchcraft. It's not. we'll go on to that. Things like water witching, and I'm going to read a passage here. If you've been removed from it, maybe it sounds humorous. Maybe it sounds like my wife's dad used to say, "Oh, that's just hooey." Well, I'd like to say that it's not. It's real. Those are real things, and they create strongholds in people's lives, and it passes on from generation to generation. Things like pendulum swinging, using a pendulum to discern unknowns, trying to discern health ailments and those kind of things. My wife's grandpa used to do those things. When we were young married, because of some health things, my wife was going to one of these places, and she was there one day when there's someone from a different background who came in there, and he said, "My back is out. I've got my back hurts," and he was almost crippled, and he couldn't, and my wife was sitting there, and she saw this man, and she saw this doctor take his hand, and just in front of him, without touching him, went like this and lined up his back. And this man went going out and telling everyone that he just witnessed a miracle. And I'm telling you today that it was witchcraft. And I say that by the fruit that came from the man's lives and his descendants. This was not from godliness. It was not from a holy man. It was witchcraft. So let's read a verse in Deuteronomy 18. Now, I don't know how this all applies here because I don't know you that well. But these things go way back, and they follow many of the plain people. Deuteronomy 18, verse 10. There shall not be found any among you that maketh his son or daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination. That's that pendulum swinging, using divination, using an object through spiritual powers to discern unknown things, or to gain information from on things that we don't know. It's a divination. Or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch. And it's interesting that we call it water witching. Or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. Necromancing is those that communicate with the dead to gain information. We see that in 1 Samuel. For all these things... I'd like for us to just read the next sentence. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. All that do these things are an abomination to the Lord. And we would do well to just read on at verse 15. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him shall ye hearken. I love that. In the middle of this denunciation, there's this prophetic word. Jesus Christ, I've sent a prophet. You listen to him. You don't need all of these things to Jesus Christ will give you everything you need. It's beautiful. So there's a lot more that we could talk about here. And again, there's a lot of there's uh,
You're probably familiar with homeopathic medicines. Maybe you're not. Praise the Lord if you're not. But the things that are where they take a little bit of something and they dilute it, and the more they dilute it, the stronger it gets. So, and it's homeopathy, and it's rooted in witchcraft. It's there's spiritual things attached, and so the stronger, if you look on the bottle, it'll say so many times, 300 times, or that means it was been diluted that many times. And the more times it's been diluted, the stronger or the more value it has, and it's witchcraft. We at our house, we are not opposed to using natural supplements and natural health things. We do some of that. We don't maybe do a lot. I'm not opposed to taking vitamins. I'm not, and so any in light of anything that I say here, I'm not wanting this to come across as taking a radical position. But on all of those things, I would urge us to be careful. I would urge us to be careful with essential oils. There are positive things that God made the plants and the herbs and the things that can be of a benefit to us. And you can use certain things for colds, and you can rub certain oils for headaches and or whatever. I'm not. That's not really what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about using lavender for something. But there are people selling essential oils, and you take this one for forgiveness, and you take this one for joy, and you take this one for peace, and you take this one for all of those things that we should be looking to Jesus Christ for. And it's witchcraft. I just believe it's rooted in witchcraft. And I'm more than willing to be corrected on anything I say. I would just encourage us to be careful with those things, because they build. We had this discussion earlier today about not being superstitious, and I'm not trying to promote superstition where we are afraid of everything because maybe it'll bring a curse on me. I'm talking about intentional things that we do that prop the door open and put a welcome sign out for the devil. You know, I mean that's what we're talking about. You know, things that we I think it can happen unknowingly. Rock music is opening the door for demonic influence into your life. That's a pretty obvious one. We would know that. And the door needs to be firmly shut and renounced in the name of Jesus. You know that, and that's a more obvious one. But some of these others, because they've been grandfathered in, everybody kind of chuckles a little bit. Nobody wants to really speak out against it too much, and we don't want to offend anybody. Maybe it's not too bad. And I just tell you, it leaves the door open for the devil, for demonic influence. And so I don't want to belabor the point. There's a lot more that could be talked about there. There's another one here, and I doubt that maybe this one applies here, but it came to me, and probably have seen it more in my past. But I'd like to talk about this one is related to the one we just talked about. If you want to turn to 1 Samuel 15. Again, today we are talking about removing chains. We're talking about freedom. We're talking about things that can be a hindrance to us, and things that can hinder us and hold us back. And so First Samuel 15, verse 22, this is very familiar to you, I'm sure. And Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, thou hast also rejected thee from being king. And I'd like to talk just a little bit, I won't belabor this too much, but a spirit of rebellion. And I have seen in my short years where people get converted. They get born again. It seemed like they did. I actually don't want to question it. They experience deliverance in their lives, and yet it seems that a rebellious spirit followed them. And I don't know if it was something from their youth that they never dealt with, or if it was just an unbrokenness. It probably was more of that, just an unbrokenness. But there was in the school where I attended, where I went for 8 years, there was in that school, there was a spirit of rebellion. And it was cool to be rebellious. It was uncool to not be rebellious. And it was just that way. Nobody ever talked about it. Nobody ever addressed it. It was just that way. I remember one day the teacher sat me down and he looked at me and he said, "John," he said, "what's wrong?" "I don't have a clue what's wrong. I don't know." But there was a spirit of rebellion, and it was just there. It was just there. It was just children would sneak alcohol to school and go out to the barn and see if they could somebody'd get some cigarettes or something. I wasn't necessarily involved in those two. It wasn't so much outward in the things that I did, but it was in my heart. It was just there. It was just this resistance to being told what to do. For me, maybe I more controlled it. I wasn't, and maybe it wasn't maybe as obvious as it was in some. But there was this resistance to authority and to being told what to do. A spirit of rebellion. Maybe that wasn't here. Maybe it's not. But there's a that thing is a tremendous hindrance to a Christian. Can't submit to the government. A resistance to paying taxes. Wanting to be politically involved because we think we should do something about it. There's just this resistant spirit, a resistance in brotherhood. Can't get along. Can't submit. Can't blend. Can't yield my own. Can't let church leaders speak into my life or brothers for that matter. Just that. And we can, that thing can be cloaked in spiritual talk. I've seen where that whole thing can just be cloaked in spiritual talk, and all it is a spirit of rebellion. And I am persuaded of better things of you all, brothers. But I would just like to put that out there. It's a chain. It you can never be free that way. God can never really effectively use you in the way He wants to. It's a tremendous hindrance. Okay, I'd like to speak a little bit about fear. First John chapter 3, we have this passage. First John chapter 3, chapter 4, I'm sorry, I wrote that down wrong. Chapter 4, 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. And so I don't want to spend a lot of time on this today, but I would say the first portion, and I don't know how long, of my experience in being a Christian, there was a lot of fear. There was a lot of There was a lot of fear about where we're going to go, where we're going to end up, how's this going to work, and all of those doubts and all of those fears. And I look back at it today, and it was rooted in one thing, and that was lack of faith, which we just heard about. Those two are contradictory to each other, and faith is not being wild and careless and just, hey, anything goes. Faith is an obedience to the Word of God. But being able to move forward in what God has shown us in His Word, being able to move forward according to that with confidence in God and not letting all the what-ifs and all those things control us. Doesn't mean we'll never face them. Doesn't mean we'll never have those questions. But they don't control us. And they don't just paralyze us. Fear is paralyzing. Fear stops us. It's, you know, we can't. It just stops us. Fear does that, and I experience those things, and I share that today. Have faith in God. Have faith in God, and you know, we all face things. I'm not here today saying that I face everything that comes along with this great confidence, and I never have any fears, or that never happens to me. That's not what I'm saying. But I am endeavoring to learn that when God has promised something, when God has called us, when God calls us to do something, He also will supply. He also will supply what it takes to accomplish that, and to have faith in that. To have faith in that, and not let the enemy, fear is from the devil. I'm not talking about fear of God. I'm talking about fear of whatever's. Fear of failure. Fear of what will they say. Fear of all of those things that come. Have faith in God. If I could just encourage us in that way today. Those verses that Jonas read. He that has begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Now, do we play a role in that? We do. We are called to abide in Christ. We can depart from Him. That's true. But if we abide in Him, He abides in us too, right? Isn't that what He said? If you abide in Me, I will abide in you. He promised that, didn't He? He that has begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. So, the last one here, and then I have a passage in Isaiah I'd like to close with. But, just thinking about identity. You know, and we could talk about this for a long time probably, but get it settled in your heart that my identity is in Jesus Christ. I have given my life to Him. He has translated me from the power of darkness and from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. There was, and I know, and immediately there are these voices that say you can't really know that, you can't be real sure of that, you can't, all of those voices. And I just like to say, the Apostle Paul never questioned that. The Apostle Paul, I said, I know in whom I am, I have believed, and am persuaded that He will keep me, that He will keep me against that day. But drive a stake in the ground that my identity is in Christ, that I have settled it. And if you need to write the date down, and don't do it foolishly, do it reverently, do it with a repentant and broken heart. Do it with a, not in a self-effort, not in some sort of not in some man-made commitment, but in the fear of God and with a reverence toward God, give it up. I can't do this. I'll never be able to do it. The only way this is going to happen is if you do it. And I'll let you do that. Okay, I'd like to close with reading Isaiah 61. This came to my heart, and I'd like for us to just meditate on a few thoughts here as an encouragement. I'm going to turn to Isaiah 61. I'd like to read this. Jonas was talking about promises. Jonas was talking about receiving the promises of God by faith, about applying our hearts in faith, about all of those things. And I'd like to read this passage. I'll make a few comments here. The Apostle Paul said, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forth to those things that are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of God in Christ Jesus. Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. He hath to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint to them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. I'd like to read that here today as a passage, a prophetic passage, a passage of promise to you all, that we live in that day. This is the acceptable year of the Lord. It's not next year. It's not 1,000 years from now. It's today. This is the acceptable year of the Lord. This is the day of the gospel. This is the day the gospel is here for healing. And I think of, you know, the struggles that we've had in the past, and the things that maybe the deep regrets that we have about the past. And I read these verses, and the oil of joy for mourning, a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. You know, there's in so many of our communities, there's this spirit of heaviness. There's this weight. And the people of God should be a joyful people. A garment of praise. That might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. May that be our testimony. That we'll read on here. That he might be glorified. And they shall build up the old wastes. They shall raise up the former desolations. The desolations of many generations. Can God do that? How big is God? Can God do that? And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the alien shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But ye shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall ye boast yourselves. For your shame ye shall have double, and for confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore in their land they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. For I, the Lord, love judgment. I hate robbery for burnt offering. And I will direct their work in truth. I will direct their work in truth. I will make an everlasting covenant with them. And their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord hath blessed. Those words thrill my heart. We live in that day. I will rejoice. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in God, for He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with a robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh herself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with jewels. And as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causeth the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. Oh, those words thrill my heart. May we be faithful to the calling of God. The Lord bless you.